I love Christmas time. I love everything about it. I love the decorations. It was hilarious. I was trying to, it was the very cold day earlier this week. I think it was maybe Monday. And my wife said, I'd like to get some, lights up around the porch. I said, great. You know, thinking of how we're going to do this. Okay, get a stapler. And we've got one of those heavy-duty staplers. And Brother Leonard, this is why I should never do things like this. And I tell you people that I'm the least mechanical person. But my wife is 40 weeks pregnant, and I want to be a blessing. And so I go out there, and I go to put the first staple in, and it cuts through the wire. Okay? So we only had two things of light, so I said, well, that one's gone. So I went and I wrapped up the other one, and just it looks terrible. It really, really does. I did it, amen? And so we're driving, I think it was to church the other night, and Eric says, is that all the decorations that we have on our house? And it reminded me of a picture Pastor Donald posted of a man who had the Grinch out in his front yard, and he had just one strand of lights, and the Grinch was pulling it out, and he said, this man is a genius, because he has decorated his whole house, but he only had to do one strand of lights. Amen? I do. I love the decorations. I love the get-togethers of Christmas. I love the food. And boy, we got more of it than, my goodness, are you ladies trying to kill me with sweets? Are you trying to turn me into a diabetic? Amen. I promise you, we do appreciate the food. I love the presents. Listen, I'm not too old to appreciate getting presents. Amen. I think it's a nice thing. By the way, I know you're a hearty lot. I love the snow. I do. Some of you looking at me right now saying, curse him. Amen. Mrs. Howland called me this week and she said, Pastor, she loves to do this to me. She said, I want to just let you know it's 72 degrees down here. But then she said, but it's not home. Because home has snow right about now. And if it keeps raining, we're not going to have much more of it. Amen. But I love the traditions of Christmas. I hope you have some traditions that accompany Christmas. Listen, we go cut down our own tree because my wife demands it. So let it be written, so let it be done. So I go out there with a saw and chop it. But it's a wonderful tradition for our family to be able to do that on the first Saturday of December. We do other things. We bake cookies. Christmas Eve, we watch White Christmas. That's something we do as a family together. And always, since my wife and I have been married, we've read Luke chapter 2 on Christmas morning before we do anything else. Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen? While I enjoy each part of Christmas, what I love most about Christmas is the Christ of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas. See, ladies and gentlemen, it's that Christ that was born of a virgin. It's that Christ that was born in Bethlehem, just like God said. It's that Christ that was born to die on Calvary's tree for the sins of you and me. It's that Christ that was born to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. That's what Christmas is all about. And let us never forget, ladies and gentlemen, amongst all the hustle and bustle around Christmas, that Christmas is all about Christ. And you know what? That's why it's getting more cantankerous about the word Christmas. Doesn't it seem that way? I'll tell you why it seems that way, because it's true. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that in the home of the free, the land of the free and the home of the brave, that children setting up a nativity scene in public square are said to be in violation of the First Amendment, whereas pornographers enjoy expansive First Amendment rights. Well, that's upside down. And I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, we have to remember this. This world hates Christ. They hate Him. Jesus is the one that said it. He said, listen, marvel not that they hate you. They hated me first. They said the reason they hate you is because you're not of this world. The reason that they want the word Christ out of Christmas is not because we love Him, but because rather they hate Him. Right. See, it's a hard thing for us to imagine that people could hate our Jesus. Why? Because we love Him so. And He loves us so. But I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, groups like the ACLU, the Americans for the Separation of Church and State, and all they do is they threaten litigation in small towns that can't afford a lawsuit. And so people kowtow and they buckle. Let it be said, ladies and gentlemen, that Loomis Park Baptist Church on December 22nd, 2013 is never going to buckle on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's our everything. Amen. He's our everything. Christmas is about Christ. And by the way, to those people, you know what I say to them? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I want you to notice with me in Luke chapter 2 something we see. We looked at it last Sunday as we looked at the decree of Caesar. And I want you to notice something with me. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. In that day it appeared that Augustus was the most important person as millions moved at his beck and call. However, Joseph and Mary, just humble, insignificant people, yet it can now be easily seen that Caesar was really the insignificant person. Merely a pawn in the plan of God. Joseph and Mary were by far the most important people on the face of the earth that particular moment because Mary had in her womb the Savior of this world. And we know what happened there. We looked at it last week. They moved toward Bethlehem because of the taxing, the census. And while she was there, it says in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. That baby born for you and me. God took on human flesh.
Amen.
So that God could offer a way of salvation to anyone that would want it. What a God. What a God. I want you to look with me at verse number 8. Verse number 8, it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding. You know, God has a special place in His heart for shepherds. You see, we think of a young shepherd named David, who, when Samuel came and Saul was put aside by God for his disobedience, and God wanted a new king, He went to the house of Jesse and He sent Samuel to anoint. And Samuel looked at Eliab, who was Jesse's eldest and this strong, strapping man, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And God said, no. And then he came to the next and went to each one of David's brothers and said, this is the one. And then God gave us that great verse that we quote so often. It says, look not on the height of his countenance nor his stature, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And Samuel said to Jesse, hast thou any here besides? And they said, the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. He was over there shepherding the sheep. And you remember when David, when old Goliath was up there cussing God, and David said to all the army, who's this clown over here? Amen. And he came to Saul. He said, listen, when I was a shepherd, there once came a lion and a bear and tried to steal one of the flock. He said, I took the lion by the beard and I punched his lights out and I killed the bear. I can take care of this Goliath. You know what he was? David was a shepherd. And he was minding the sheep. I think of another shepherd in Luke chapter number 15, and that is not only a young shepherd, I think of a seeking shepherd in the parable of the lost sheep. There were 99 sheep, and that shepherd was busy. He was counting, and he was supposed to count to 100, but he stopped at 99. He said, why? Because one was missing. And you know what he did? He went off and sought that sheep that was lost. Aren't you glad our Savior didn't leave us in our lost condition? But He went and sought after us. By the way, He doesn't leave you in your backslidden condition either. He seeks after you. He's always desiring to get your attention, to show you His goodness, to show you His glory. We see a young shepherd. We see a seeking shepherd. We see a good shepherd, don't we? Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See, when that old wolf, Satan, had plans for us, his sheep, you know what the shepherd did? He stood between that wolf and us, and he died for us. But praise God, he rose again for us. Jesus is also called the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. He's called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5:4. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So God has a special place in His heart for shepherds. You know what shepherds are? Shepherds are common, regular, blue-collar people of the day. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, without apology? God always uses common people. Aren't you glad about that? Listen, every time I see myself shaving in the mirror, I realize I'm not an extraordinary person. I'm extraordinary looking. I didn't say good looking. I said extraordinary. Like, you know, some people are in high school, they're in Who's Who. I was in What's That? Amen. No, God uses ordinary people. Let me just say this to you. Let me encourage you this morning. God uses flawed people. God uses sinners. Because you know what? That's all He's got to work with. Let that be an encouragement to you. You say, listen, I'm just a common man. I just work a job every day and I go to work and I go home, try to provide for my family. You're exactly the kind of person that God uses. Here we have the shepherds. And I want to just notice 10 quick things this morning. And I promise they will be quick. People hear 10 points like Brother Hendershot over there, amen. And they think it's going to be an eternal sermon. I promise you, it's not. 10 quick points. I want to examine the most privileged of all commoners, the shepherds. What were they doing? Or what did they do? Let's look at it, if we could, in our text. Look at verse 8. It says there, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. The first thing we see them doing is, number one, abiding. They were abiding in the field. You look that up, it means they were just camped out taking care of their sheep. Can I say this first of all, ladies and gentlemen, about the shepherds? They were abiding. They were where they were supposed to be. Do you ever wonder why God has you at a particular job or a particular place? I graduated from Bible college when I was 29. I was convinced I'd be pastoring within a year, Brother Apple. Amen. But it didn't happen. I served as an associate for 5 years under two wonderful men of God, and then 3 years under another man of God. And I wondered every day I went to work at that factory, at that warehouse, checking aircraft parts. I thought, what on earth am I doing? Why am I here? And I'll tell you exactly why. Because that's right where God wants you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why does God have me here? Why does God have me in this class? Why do I live in this neighborhood? You know what they were doing? They were abiding. They were right where they were supposed to be. Just like you and I. Right there on that job, Brother Ewald. Amen. Right there over at Lowe's, Brother Shannon. Amen. Right there at Myers. But right there at Menards there. Right there. Right where God wants you. They were abiding. Secondly, this morning, they were not only abiding, they were right where they were supposed to be. But it says also in verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were not only abiding, but they were watching. A shepherd's life was a vigilant life. A sober life. You had to watch. Why? Because animals, wolves, coyotes would come and steal a sheep. You always had to be on guard. They were not only where they were supposed to be, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Do you know when the disciples wanted to know when the Lord was going to return? First of all, He said, it's none of your business when I'm going to return. Amen. It's exactly what He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. But you know what He did tell us to do? Watch and pray. For ye know not when your Lord doth come. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to be watching. He wants you to be vigilant. He wants you to be on guard against sin. Abiding. Watching. How about number 3, verse 9? It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What's the third thing we see? We see Him abiding, we see Him watching, we see Him fearing. We see Him fearing. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I think about, God bless our Sunday school teachers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They got the day off today. Amen. And they need a day off. But listen, you know what they do? They constantly want to teach young people to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. Because, you know, when you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anybody else. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we read that, it says, the glory shone round about them and they were sore afraid. And we just, listen, literally it was like a new sun appeared in the sky. And if you and I saw that, don't think, well, I wouldn't be afraid at all. I'd be on my face or behind a rock. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, fear not him which is able to destroy the body, but fear him which is able to cast body and soul in hell. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we should fear God. You show how you fear God by the way you live your life. By what you do, by what you don't do. That shows whether, hey, I fear what God says in His Word. I was reading Proverbs today, and Proverbs is a great contrast between the wise and the foolish. And if fearing God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, do you think it would benefit us, ladies and gentlemen, to be like these shepherds, fearing? Oh, we don't walk around like God's going to hit us with a stick. Doesn't work. Talking about a reverence for the Creator of all that is. Fearing. Abiding. Watching. Number 4. Verses 10 through 14. Look at it with me. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And by the way, isn't it wonderful that they were afraid? And the angel, first thing he said, fear not. Don't be afraid. He goes on to say in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What do we find the shepherds doing in verses 10 through 14? We find them listening. See, they saw and they feared, and then the angel began to speak and they listened. You know what they did? They listened to God's messenger. Verse 10. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not. He goes on to say, now listen, folks, and listen, I know this is so much to take this from this passage. It's strictly an application. But in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Lord would always speak to the angel of the church at Ephesus, the angel of the church at Pergamos. And that word angelos means messenger. And the messenger of the church at Pergamos was the pastor. The messenger of the church at Ephesus was the pastor of that church. And listen, please don't think I'm comparing myself to an angel. No. No, the only thing that keeps my halo up is my horns. Amen. I understand that. But listen, don't reject the message because of the flaws of the messenger. Because not only did they listen to the messenger, they listened to the message. What was the message? Verses 10 through 12. Good tidings of great joy. A Savior was born, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. So they listened to the messenger. They listened to the message. And then you know what else they listened to? The multitude in verses 13 through 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's always been debate in theological circles. Do angels sing? Do angels sing? By the way, the Bible never says they do. They may. They very well may. But I heard someone say one time, they don't have anything to sing about. They've never been redeemed. But we have, amen. But whatever here, this multitude, they are praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we find the shepherds, the commoners, listening to God. Pastor, how do I listen to God? I want to hear God. How do I do it? Read His Word. This is the written voice of God. He has said all that He will ever say. Right between these two covers. Say, Pastor, I had a horrible Bible reading year. Start today. Start up today. Amen, church? Start today. Get your nose in this book every day. Listen for God. He speaks through His Word. We find Him listening. We find them fearing. We find them watching. We find them abiding. I like verse number 15. Look at it with me. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which hath come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. You know what we see in verse number 15? We see them discussing. Not only listening, fearing, watching, abiding, but discussing. It says that they let us go now. They said one to another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Two things they discussed. They discussed the Word of God. I can't wait for you to meet, church family, to meet Miss Marissa's dad, Pastor Robles. My dear friend, I call him mi amigo. It's the only Spanish I know, outside of burrito or taco or whatever else you order at Taco Bell. Amen. I don't know any of that stuff. Doritos, that's what I know in Spanish. Amen. But he is mi amigo. He always tells me even then, he said, you say it wrong, brother. Mi amigo means female. I said, well, you're mi amigo. He is one of the dearest Christian brothers I have ever known. We had so much great fellowship. We used to pick up the teenagers on early on Sunday morning to send them out to bus route areas to run. The area that we're from in New England, we had four basically giant housing projects. So what we do is we do a big sweep with the bus, drop off pairs of teenagers in these areas to knock the doors, and then we would go back, get the bus, and then pick up the first one, the second one, third one. And the whole time, Pastor Oblace and I, you know what we talked about? The Word of God. We talked about how good God was. What God had showed us that week in His Word. And our fellowship was around the Word of God. That's, by the way, that's why you need church more than once a year. More than once a week. You need to get around people that will encourage you in the Word of God. You know what the shepherds talked about? They talked about the Word of God. Secondly, they talked about the will of God. Hey, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this. Can you which the Lord hath made known to us. Pastor, how do I know the will of God? Listen, just get busy doing the revealed will of God. And His Word will be a lamp unto your path and a light unto your feet. Amen. He'll show you that next step and the next step. By the way, sometimes most of us, we want a spotlight. Want us to see all the way down the road. God doesn't work that way. Amen. He shows us the next step to take and the next step to take. There they were. They were discussing. They were listening. They were fearing. They were watching. They were abiding. Verse 16. It says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Number 6, we see Him seeking. Seeking. Someone has said about this text right here, it says, "And they came with haste." This was the first Christmas rush. Amen. They came with haste. And it wasn't for a big screen TV. It was to see the Son of God. But you know, God still desires our fellowship. An amazing thing, ladies and gentlemen. When I think of how flawed I am and how sinful I am, that God still desires to have fellowship with me. He still says, "Those that seek me with all their heart shall find me." You know what? He's available. The Bible says He's not far off. He's close by. He desires that we would seek Him here as the shepherds sought after Jesus. Do you seek Him? Do you seek His approval? Amen? Do you seek Him in His Word? Do you seek to have time with Him in prayer? We find the shepherds seeking. But praise God, according to that promise. Look at the end of verse 16. Not only it says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. We not only see them seeking, number 7, we see them finding. Because the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find." When you seek after God with all your heart, oh listen, I'm not saying every problem will be solved. I'm not saying every difficulty will go away. But I promise you, when you seek after God in His Word, in prayer, you will find Him. And you will find Him a faithful friend by faith. By faith. We see Him finding, seeking, discussing, listening, fearing, watching, abiding. Number 8. Look at verse 17. It says, "And when they had seen it." When they had seen it. We find them, number 8, is seeing. We've been told that seeing is believing. But Jesus, after He had risen from the dead and showed Himself alive to His disciples, 1 week later on a Sunday night service, they told Thomas what he missed last Sunday night. And Thomas, and by the way, the Lord loved Thomas as much as He loved Peter or Andrew or any of the disciples. He had a problem with doubt. By the way, a lot of believers have a problem with doubt. And all God's people said, It's okay, I'll say amen too. I have problems with doubt. But he said to Thomas, Thomas said, listen, I just can't believe. And I've met many of people in my life that said, I just can't believe. I just can't. And the Bible says in Romans 12:3 that God hath given to every man the measure of faith. There's enough faith in every man to believe and trust God. He said, I just can't believe. Until I see the prints in his hand and the scar in his side, I'll not believe. And Jesus showed up, though the room was all shut. Why? Because he's the Son of God. He can do whatever he wants. And he said, peace be unto you. And he came right to Thomas and he said, go ahead. Put your hands in the prints. Put your fingers in the prints. Put your hand in my side. And he said, be not faithless, but believe. Then he said this, Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen and believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So you see them seeing. Listen, I see a whole group of people in this room that see because we believe. Not the other way around. We seeing is not believing. We believe, and so God allows us to see in His Word. God allows us to see the spiritual truths. God allows us to see consequences for actions because of the Word of God. We see God's principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. So we see them here seeing. We see them finding. We see them seeking. We see them discussing, listening, fearing, watching, abiding. Look at number 9, and we're almost done. We see them telling in verses 17 and 18. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Years ago, had the privilege of meeting one of the meekest men I've ever met in my life. He was a tract distributor. Literally, he printed the tracts and everything, but he thought it was his business to pass out tracts everywhere he went. Brother Sammons, every day before sunup in his town, he would take a stack of 100 tracts and go to 100 homes before the sun came up and put them on their doors. Back then, you could put them in mailboxes. And he did that for 40 years. 40 years, ladies and gentlemen. You know what he thought his business was? To tell other people what he had seen. Do you know what every Christian's business is? To tell other people what we've seen. To tell other people there's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's a lot of suppression of speech going on in our country. Unpopular speech is the reason why our founders gave us the First Amendment. Because it's linked with the freedom to worship. And you know, there are some unpleasant things in that book that I preach every week. Hell is an unpleasant thing. There will come a day, I believe, where hell is classified as hate speech. You hate people. No. It's because I don't want people to go there that I tell them how awful it really will be. And I believe that book. And on we could go, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't tell folks that there is a Savior, who's going to tell them? Certainly not liberal congregations that don't even believe that book. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us Every one of us Christians ought to have somebody in our crosshairs to witness to give the gospel to. You say, Pastor, how does that work? Just tell them what God did for you. Just tell them, if you got saved in a Sunday school class, tell them, when I was 5 years old, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And you know what? I'm still as saved as I ever was, because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've got a testimony of coming to Christ later in life, just share that. You say, well, what if I don't know what verses to say? Listen, you've got the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, He'll help you. I'll tell you, sometimes we shirk this responsibility. It was a natural byproduct for the shepherds. They'd seen something miraculous, and they wanted to tell everyone else about it. Amen. Lastly, this morning, these most privileged of all commoners, they were abiding. They were watching. They were fearing. They were listening. They were discussing. They were seeking, finding, seeing, telling. Last thing we see them in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The last thing we see amongst these commoners is we see them praising. Praising. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, which we heard this morning. Amen. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments, which we heard this morning. Both that one and each one of you that has a 10-stringed instrument right here, called your voice. And then it says, praise Him with organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to end this morning message just to say that our God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is worthy of our praise. Amen. He's worthy. The Bible calls it in the book of Hebrews, the sacrifice of praise. You know when it's a sacrifice, Brother Horsch? When you've lost somebody. When you're on a bed of affliction and you don't feel one bit like praising the Lord. You know, there's somebody in our church, and there's so many folks. I don't see her this morning, and that's Miss Betty. You know what Miss Betty does? Miss Betty Wiesner. She praises the Lord. She's been in that wheelchair for over 50 years, Miss Cindy. Amen. Now you just think about being in a wheelchair for 50 days. I'd want out. Amen. There she sits back there, offering the sacrifice of praise. Have you praised Him this week? Have you praised Him today? You say, well, I sung, Pastor. Did you mean it from here? Did you mean it right from here? God's sure been good to you. I think of youth and all your strength and vigor that God gives you. Praise Him for it. Praise Him. It comes from Him. Amen. Hey, you worked that job this year that God gave you. And listen, I know there are times when you're on a job, even a job you appreciate. Sometimes we all get the mully grubs. How about praising Him? Saw a man yesterday. God bless him. Standing over there by the BP on Boardman Road with a little cardboard sign. Rain all over him. Sign was crumbling. It was so wet. Pulled out $5 and I beeped my horn and I let my window down and He quoted the verse. He said, "May God bless you exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think." And I thought he just did.
Yeah.
He just did. Praise Him, folks.
Amen.
You know what we are? We're the most privileged of all commoners. Just like those shepherds. Father, we love You.